All right, here we are, week four. Holy cow, how did that happen? This month has gone by so fast, I can't even begin to tell you guys. So again, I just finished up with a client here at the house, so I just got everything recording, so we're good there. And now, just give me a moment to pull up week four, and we will begin. All right, here we go. So let's start tonight with an opening prayer to help me center in as well. And here we go. Beloved Mother, Father, God, please be present with us on this call. Please be present with us always, every day, in every way. Please speak through me, and please allow everyone to hear through your ears. And so it is. Okay, and now I am getting an email saying that somebody can't get on the call. And they reply back to them. We're going to get started eventually here. Okay, so this week is continuing the 40 Days of Self-Love, week four. And we start off this week with a beautiful quote. If you want to become something, achieve something in life, then always listen to your heart. This week is all about listening and asking questions. This is such a natural progression, and as you see this progression of this program, you'll start to understand the process, and you'll start to piece together the pieces of the puzzle. So we started out the first week with a foundation, and hopefully you are all recommitting each week to the work of the foundation and being present to the foundation. I'd love to get some feedback from you guys. Either at the end of the call, we can open it up if you'd like, but you can always email me or text me and let me know how the foundation is going for you. This is really, if you did nothing else in the self-love program, which I hope you do it all, of course, but if you did nothing else except for the foundation, you would experience a beautiful shift in your life. It's just a fact. When we tap into our subconscious, when we get into our physical body, have the ability to listen to God through meditation and share our deep gratitude with ourselves, with one another, and with God, you can't help but have shifts in your life. I honestly don't know what my life would look like without the foundation. Now, I've shared with you guys before, by no means am I perfect with the foundation. There are many a day that it lacks, I'll be real honest with you. But I know for sure that the days I am able to get to all four foundations, all four parts, the pillars of the foundation, are my most successful days in all ways, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So we move from the commitment of the foundation, and remember that every week is an opportunity for renewal. It's an opportunity for us to re-identify with our true self. It's an opportunity for us to shine as children of God in God's light. It's a beautiful thing to begin every day as the sun comes up, writing in our morning pages and being filled with the Spirit and knowing our truth. As we moved into week two, we began to open up to how do we share our truth with others by Deva, finding ways to be of support and of help to others, giving selflessly, which doesn't mean to give of ourselves so that we are depleted, but remember it means to give of ourselves without expectation, with detachment, with no attachment to the results of our giving, that seva. I'd love to hear if you guys have any experiences with seva, what you're continuing to do. I know the first time I did this program, which was, I think it was 3 years, 2.5 or 3 years ago, one of the gals that was doing the program started volunteering after the program. She kind of did the day-to-day seva stuff, and then after the program was over, she was inspired to actually do more volunteer work and physically at a location. And now I know that she's actually working for that charity, and that's her source of income, and she's also doing favor there, and it's a beautiful process. I really love seeing the results of that. So do please share them with me during the process and afterwards as well. Into week three, we began to speak our truth. We began to know our truth and dive deeper into knowing ourselves and to not tell ourselves those lies that so many of us tell ourselves and we don't even realize we are saying them, the limiting beliefs, the untruths, the self-judgment. We began to release that, to catch ourselves when that started happening, to fill ourselves up with God's light when we found ourselves in those triangles of untruth, us, them, and the untruth, us, God, and the untruth, our egos, our divine self, and the untruth. Somehow there's always a trio happening there when a lie is involved. As we move into week four and release any lies and releasing any untruth, we move into listening. And I'll start just by reading a little bit from the PDF that you received last night. Listening is a true art. It is a necessity to hear of the ones we love and ourselves, self-love. Listening without planning what to say next, without judgment, and without an agenda. This is our natural instinct. Watch small children. Watch them listen. They take time to process, to hear, and to ponder. And they ask questions, why, how, when, where, who, all the time. Then around age four, they watch the adults. And they see that they do not listen as a rule. They interrupt. We finish each other's sentences. We don't ask. We assume. After seeing this behavior in adults, the child begins to change and do the same. Listening is being present, saying, what do you mean? I don't understand. Tell me more. It is amazing when the shift in perspective happens and we start listening. There is so much more to hear. So much less to say, and it is so clear. The miracle is in the responses of others, the gratitude in being heard, in being understood, in loving and respecting the other person as well as ourselves. This is really, I don't know, I think I say this every week, but every week I'm like, oh my God, this is the best week. This is the best part of the program right here, which is good. I guess it's really great that I'm in love with this process or my father doing it, right? I always ask questions. I don't know. My family doesn't. God knows they don't. Bless them all. it's like one of my biggest pet peeves. Really not a whole lot of people in my life that I'm, in my whole life, like from the time I was small till currently, I can't say that there's a huge number of people in my life that naturally ask a lot of questions. Of course, I am blessed with a few beautiful souls in my life that do that, and we share beautiful conversation, and they process with me, and I'm so grateful for them. But the majority of humans that I've run into on this planet just simply don't ask questions. I mean, I have been at many events and meetings and functions and all kinds of stuff, and new and old friends, and nobody ever asked me a question. It's the weirdest thing. And you would think, well, it comes natural to me to ask questions because I do this all day, you know, anywhere from two clients on a day that I'm quote-unquote not working to a full day of clients. I mean, sometimes I'll do, you know, 9-10 clients in a day. Hopefully you're not aware of that and I don't show that I'm wiped out. Actually, I feel really energized when I'm working in quotes, but as soon as my day's over, I kind of crash, and that's something that I'm working on. So, but it's just amazing to me. It's definitely one of my biggest pet peeves to be in a conversation, not in a client conversation, because that's very different. I'm serving my client. I'm giving them something. I'm offering them, you know, my service through God. That's very different. I don't expect them to ask me questions or you to ask me questions. But just in day-to-day, it's like a lost art. It's like writing a letter. Nobody does that either. But this is a really important thing. A letter is like icing on the cake. Asking questions is everything. How are you listening if we're not asking questions? Now, you can just listen and let people talk on and on forever if they're talkers, or you can listen to their body language or their silence or whatever. That's fine. That's listening. But if you ask the right questions, the questions coming from your heart, the questions that you know are going to help them open their heart. Now you're going to be listening to something. Now you're going to be receiving the information that you truly need. So it's definitely not something I learned from others, I don't think. I don't think it's just my general nature preparing for humankind. I just think it's something that I've developed over time. And it gives me an information that others don't necessarily have, and I know that it helps me make better decisions when I ask a lot of questions. Because when we ask questions, we gain knowledge. And when we gain knowledge, we have more information to make decisions. We can choose love or fear much easier with the answers. It's very difficult to choose fear when we have the answers we're looking for. The one thing most people fear is the unknown, and if we ask questions, we lessen the unknown. I am truly always surprised by women that don't ask their boyfriends or their partners or their girlfriends or whatever clear questions. And they walk into a relationship, and this goes for any relationship. I'm surprised at people that call me and they're upset with their bosses or just their job in general. And of course, my first question is, are you asking the right questions? What do you need to know? And 9 out of 10 times, people are assuming things. They're assuming their boss doesn't like them, or that their boss wants to fire them, or that their husband is cheating, or that their girlfriend is spending money she's not supposed to be spending, or their business partner is stealing. There's so many assumptions in this world, and it really, truly, from the bottom of my soul, blows my mind that people aren't asking these questions. Now, I don't mean you just say, hey, honey, are you cheating on me? But you ask the questions, and every situation is different, so I won't even go down the road of what that would look like in the proper way of asking. But the idea is that we must gain knowledge. We must ask questions to other people so we can understand the truth. Not my truth, the truth. Also, knowing what the agreement is. Knowing what your agreement is with your partner, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, with your boss, with your child, with your parents, with everyone in your life. Being clear, asking questions. What is our agreement? What is our level of commitment? What do you feel? How would you like to see this change? How would you like to see it stay the same? What I usually get is a lot of silence, a lot of tears, and a lot of fear. So as you move into this week, asking questions and listening with your heart, I'm not suggesting that every moment of every relationship is a barrage of questions. That's absolutely not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that maybe instead of assuming you know what the person's going to say, or assuming you know how the person feels, or assuming you know what they're going to do, that you stop and listen. What are they actually saying in this moment? Look at their body. Feel their energy. Look into their eyes and give them space to talk. Give them energetic space to exchange knowledge with you. And then listen to yourself and ask questions. And then listen to the response. The most important thing here to keep in mind this week is that you also need to ask questions of yourself. When we ask questions of ourself, we come to a deeper knowing of our true being. And when we know our true soul, we know ourselves as a human, we know ourselves as a spiritual being, and we know ourselves in our heart chakra as our soul. Now, not only do we have outside information, but we have inside information. And we turn off all the chatter and listen. It's what meditation is. I think I said last week, prayer is talking to God, give him the list, tell them how things are going, ask them for what you want, whatever that conversation looks like in prayer. But the meditation, that sacred divine space of meditation, is listening to God. When we listen to ourselves, if you go beneath the layer of the ego, which is available to you in the morning pages, we get that glimpse at our subconscious, our divine self, our authenticity. As we roll over in the morning, still in dream state, and we write the conscious stream of writing, and we listen, we are beneath the layer of the ego. We are in the true self. Not only are we listening to ourself and our soul, but we learn to begin to hear God. God doesn't always show up walking on water or lightning bolts or big giant miracles. God shows up in all kinds of ways, which we will talk about more in later weeks to come. God shows up in many forms, and God speaks to us. I have to say, this isn't in the PDF, but I wanted to just touch base really quick on my mentor, Michael Murdad. I've been working with him for about 3 years now, maybe a little more. Well, about 3 years. And he teaches these five-day intensives. And one of them is on mastery, which really appeals to my masculine linear side, of course, mastery. Of course, it's a completely balanced, beautifully masculine and feminine at the same time energy that is actual mastery. But so I've done this 5-day intensive a couple times with him. And one of the things that really sticks out for me in the lessons in this particular class is throughout his experience in life, he has overcome so many obstacles by listening, and even above and beyond listening, by asking questions. And he has made the impossible possible. And the people that are around him in his, that either work for him or on the boards with him or serve with him in some way, and I'm assuming his friendship circles as well, they all know that you don't go back to Michael with a no. Michael says, let's build a labyrinth in 2 days. You don't go back and say, I'm sorry, it can't be done. You find a way. You ask questions and you listen, and you ask more questions and you listen, and you find the way for the miracle to happen. There is always a way. In fact, here's a story I promised on the PDF that I would tell you, and now I have to see if I can remember it correctly. It's a beautiful story told by another spiritual teacher of mine, Mary Morrissey. And Mary Morrissey is interesting. She's an older woman. I've never met her in person, but I've learned from her through her prosperity program. And her prosperity program is just like this beautiful gem, so full of information. And pieces of the Divine Prosperity program that I teach, that I'll be teaching probably in the fall, come directly from her work, because it's just too good to bother changing it or interpreting it. It's just perfect the way it is. She tells a story about that really applies to this particular week, and I will tell it to you the best I can. So Wayne Dyer writes in one of his books about having to be from Malibu, California, to Chicago, Illinois, one night on the flight, because early the next morning he was speaking at a huge conference of something ridiculous, like 2,000 or 3,000 people. I mean, like a big, big, big conference. This is back in the early 90s when the whole New Age movement was just like bursting at the seams. It was the new thing happening, and it was just bursting, and huge conferences were happening. A lot of these huge conferences have kind of died down. A lot of more intimate conferences are happening now, but this was, you know, big, big stadiums filled with these New Age speakers, Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer, and it wasn't a fortune to go. You know, Anthony Robbins was pulling in 5,000 people in, or 10,000 people in stadiums, and you know, only charging $50 or $90. And so it was a really exciting time. So Wayne Dyer's at the airport, and he has to get on the flight. It's not like he's going to visit somebody for fun. He has to get on the flight, and the flight gets canceled because, of course, there's a terrible snowstorm in Chicago, and nothing's happening. Or not in Chicago, some weather on the way to Chicago, and it cancels the flight. So it's Wayne Dyer. I mean, what's he going to do? Put his tail between his legs and leave? No. He says to the woman, you know, I really need to get there. There's 5,000 or however many people expecting me to be there for the speaking engagement. It starts first thing in the morning. I have to get there. And she keeps repeating, no, I'm sorry. There's absolutely no way that can happen. There's weather on the way there, and it can't happen. I'm so sorry. You should call your people and counsel. Well, Wayne Dyer, being full of mastery, says, you know, maybe I can talk to somebody else who might be able to help me. The famous, you know, get me your supervisor question. So she does. She was very nice. She wasn't mean. She just didn't see that there was absolutely any way to help him whatsoever. So the supervisor comes over, and she says, you know, how can I help you? And Wayne says, well, there must be another way. You can send me up to Canada and back down. You can send me to Mexico and back up. I don't care. Just before 8 a.m. in the morning, I need to be on the ground in Chicago. Well, of course, sure enough, it happens. He said, I don't care how you get me there, but I know that it can happen. I believe that it can. And a really key point is that when he was going from the original girl at the desk at the airline to the supervisor, the quote that is written in his book says, "I understand that you don't see a way for this to happen, but could you please get me somebody who can?" And I don't think he was being mean, but it's something along those lines of, "I see you can't see it, but could you get me somebody who can?" And, I mean, that's, like, so brilliant. And so, Mary Morrissey, back to her, he gets there, he does his gig, and all is fine. And Mary Morrissey writes about this in her prosperity class. She told this whole story about Wayne Dyer and how he says, you know, if you don't see a solution, can you get somebody that can? And she wants Wayne Dyer to come to her spiritual center and do a seminar. So she's very excited about Wayne Dyer coming, and she's just read his book, and she's very, very excited about having him there at this conference that she's holding, I believe up somewhere in Washington, I think. And so she writes him a letter, and she says, you know, I would really like you to come and blah, blah, blah. And she sends it off because it's long before email. And she gets a response that says, great, he would love to come, and his fee is $10,000. Well, she does not have $10,000 at this time. This is the beginning of her career, and $10,000 is like probably what $1 million is like to her now. Well, maybe even more. I don't know how rich she is. But it's a really big amount to her, and there's no way she can do it. But she can give $1,000. Now, that's a far cry from $10,000, but she puts a $1,000 check in the envelope and writes on a blank piece of paper, if you can't make this happen, can you put me in contact with someone who can? Like, exact words that he wrote in his book that he said to the gal at the airline counter, she says to him. And he gets the mail and writes that, I'll be there. You got it. I love that story. It's so perfect, so beautiful. And this is a story of asking questions. This is a story of listening. If Mary Morrissey didn't listen to what she read, to what he said, to what he wrote, and absorb it into her being and keep it in her mind, I don't know if she would have thought to say, if you don't think this can happen, put me in contact with somebody who can. I don't know if she would have thought of that. I'm kind of doubting she would have. But she listened, and she utilized her knowledge. And she didn't just ask him to come for free. She paid what she knew she could pay. So she also offered of herself. She spoke her truth. This is what I can afford. And here is the check. And Wayne, on the other hand, did what he said he would do. He showed up. He did the conference. It was amazing. And he also was able to do Seva. So you can see there's like every topic is covered in the story. It's such a beautiful story. And if you ever hear Mary Morrissey tell it, please forgive me for butchering parts of it, I'm sure. But it's such a beautiful story, and it reminds all of us to ask. I personally was already that kind of person that asked, well, you know, if you can't, then who can? And if this doesn't work, then what does? And if I can't afford that, can I give you this instead? I mean, I've always been willing to ask. I don't know why, again, I don't have any idea where it came from, but it is a beautiful tool in mastery. You know, it's funny, too, because I run into a lot of people in my life that ask me, you know, how did you go from a 20-year career in sales and marketing to spiritual counselor? And I had many obstacles along the way. At first, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to have to, you know, get all these degrees, and I'm going to have to take insurance, and I'm going to have an office, and I'm going to have to blah, blah, blah. I mean, I had all these obstacles in my way. And as we've talked about before, I started chipping away at the obstacles. And I chipped away by asking questions. And many of you know this story, but I'll tell it quickly. I started my business by offering and asking people, would you like some counseling? At the time, I gave it away for free. And I had a couple people say yes. And a couple of those people, I still have sessions with them on a very regular basis, and I still give it to them for free. Because from those two or three people, and specifically really one very motivated person, we'll use the word motivated person, from there I grew through referrals, and that's how my entire practice was built. And why? Because I ask questions. When I say, hi there, you know, I'm switching my career from this to that, and if you'd like some free counseling, please let me know. I mean, I'm asking a lot of questions. Hey, do you trust me to listen to you and to repeat back to you and to observe for you and let God speak through me? Now, that's a pretty big question to ask. Think about some areas right in this moment, whether you're listening live or recorded later. Think about some areas from your past that you wish you'd asked more questions, that you wish that you heard more answers, that you wish you actually had an opportunity to listen. I'm sure you can all think of one or two situations where you wish you knew more about the situation before you made your decision. Even I, with this ability to ask great questions, have a couple things that pop into my head right away, like, why the hell didn't you ask more questions before you made that decision? One of the most amazing phrases that I'm familiar with that I remind myself of constantly is, I don't know. I don't know. Please tell me. I don't know. Please show me. I don't know. Please take me there. That's the morning prayer, right? God, beloved Mother, Father, God, I don't know. Show me where to go, what to do, what to say, how to do it, how to say it, when to say it. I mean, you can ask exactly what you want, and you will receive, because when we ask, we do receive. So moving back into the PDF here a little bit, the best part of becoming a question asker, an inquirer, is learning to ask yourself questions. I don't like them, that, this, it, but why? I love her, him, this, why? I feel uncomfortable. I feel angry, excited, happy, sad, hesitant, shy, aggressive, sick. Why? The more we know, the more we love. Knowing ourselves leads to more self-love. We are able to be more gentle and kind and patient and honest when we know ourselves. We begin to know, we begin to want to know others as well. When you know yourself well, you're not fighting for competition. You're not fighting for validation. The more we know and love ourselves, the more we want to know and love others. If we are filled with God's light and filled with our knowledge of ourselves and filled with this knowingness of self-love, well, why on earth wouldn't we want to know others? You know exactly what I'm talking about, because when we are not filled with love, when we do not know ourselves, we're not interested in what other people have to say, are we? Not at all. In fact, I bet every one of you just had someone pop into your mind that never asked you a question, that never really seems all that happy, or maybe they mask it. Maybe they're a little too happy on the outside. Maybe you know them a little bit to know that they are actually very insecure, that they're actually in a lot of pain. And asking questions is a painful experience for them because they do not know themselves. Think about it. Now go back to that thought that you had a little bit ago about that situation in your life where you wish you had asked more questions. Remember, we're in the business of living in the now, but we can also look back in the past and change history. Okay, now you're thinking I'm crazy. Yes, we can change history because history is perception and only perception. So when you look back on something that happened to you, say you fell off your bike as a little girl, and you remember in that moment how much it hurt and the pain, and maybe you sprained your ankle. And you can look back upon that and be really angry at whoever, your dad, for taking off your training wheels too soon. And you can be really pissed off, and you can say, my dad made me sprain my ankle, and my dad created this pain, and I'm mad at my dad, and he was always pushing me, and he always pushed me to the limit, and he never gave me an opportunity, and he never loved me right way, and he never gave me compassion, and oh my God, here we go with the baggage and the story and the movie. That little girl didn't know yet. Well, she knew at one time, and then she was completely changed when ego came in fully. But she didn't know at the time to ask questions. It wasn't really so much asking questions to her father, which you could still do in later days and later years, but asking questions of herself. Why am I so angry at my dad? Why do I want to blame him for this? Why do I think he is trying to hurt me? Why do I think this is his fault? But you can ask those questions now. You couldn't back then. You didn't know. We always do the best we know how to do. We all do the best we know how to do, period. But you know now, so you can ask those questions. Why did I blame that on my dad? Why did I think he pushed me so hard? Did he push me hard? Was that my perception? Did I ask him to push me? Did he push me once and I responded in a good way, so he thought I was supposed to do it all the time? You get the drift. You ask yourself questions. I mean, if we all asked ourselves questions, my job would be obsolete. If we all got to the place where we could be the client and the spiritual teacher, which is, by the way, something I did working on my master's, we did constant, what's it called, automatic writing or download writing or free writing like we do with the morning pages. We would do constant that kind of assignment, but we would be the client and the counselor. And we would write back and forth. Some people would switch hands, so the client was your right hand and your counselor was the left hand, or vice versa, depending on which one's dominant. By the way, your undominant hand is your counselor, and your dominant hand is ego, and that's the client. You can do that with yourself. Maybe that's an exercise I'll sneak in to one of the programs. So you can change the past, and you can even, yes, predict the future sometimes. You're assuming something, you're thinking something, you're fretting something, you're worrying about something, ask the question. You're worried about a meeting with your boss? Why am I worried? What is this fear all about? What am I really thinking? What am I really feeling? What's the worst that could happen? Oh, look at that. That just alleviated a lot of worry, doesn't it? So asking yourself questions is a tool that is just so valuable. I can't begin to tell you how valuable it is. So let's see, let's move on here. Oh, and I talk a little bit about in the PDF what I'm observing, and I talk about what happens for me when I'm able to ask you questions. And I just mentioned that I center into myself and set my ego aside to the best of my ability, and this does take practice. I can only be effective when I am feeling safe within myself. I know myself well enough to trust my divine self will come through with God's light. I get there by asking myself questions. Am I a child of God? Yes, of course I am. Am I here on earth to do God's work? Yes, of course I am. Am I confident in my truth? Yes. Can I set aside my ego from this time period to be of service? Yes. And if any of those questions come back a no, I have to take a moment. I mean, sometimes I'm running a little late. Sometimes I have to cut off a little early. I have to do what is my truth. I have to be in the truth of the moment. I come back in, I recenter, and then I can serve. Then I can ask you the questions and help you find that same space of peace. And then you can go and serve in your own beautiful way, whatever your service is. Listening is so overlooked that we take it for granted, and eventually we only hear what we want to hear. And most of the time we hear fear, the negative thoughts of our own ego. This week we're going to stop and we're going to breathe and we're going to listen with our heart. We are going to imagine that our heart literally has ears. That's a tool that I was given also during the same time period when I was working on my master's. And that vision of opening our heart and literally seeing our ears growing out of our heart. It's a funny image, but it really does help open up your heart when you listen. It's really a beautiful visualization and practice. And in fact, we'll probably work that into our meditation shortly. Let's see here what else the PDF has to say. Listening to your heart. Listening to your authentic self is always an interesting choice, and it can be made easily. Simply be present and open to hear it. Ask it questions. And when I say it, I'm talking about our divine self. That's a part of self. So you're asking yourself. And when most of us just sit back and go, how am I feeling? It's the ego that answers, because we are humans and we walk on earth, and so we believe that our ego is who we are. And as we become further inspired and further along the path of spirituality and moving towards enlightenment, we start realizing that we're normally in our egoic mind. And so we start observing ourselves, which observation is key. In observation, we've been working on, we observed how we felt when we did seva. We observed how we felt when we told our truth and when we told our lies. And now we observe ourselves as we are moving closer to the path of spirituality. And so when we are in that state of observation, we can drop in and ask the divine self. We can ask our authentic self. And it's amazing to me the responses I get from people when I ask them questions about how they feel, what they want, why they're choosing something. I don't know is often the answer. And I always respond with, ask yourself. Ask your authentic self. Don't bother asking the ego. We know what the ego wants. It wants to stay the same. It wants to just keep doing whatever you're doing. Ask the authentic self to answer. Your ego will cover up the truth of the matter, will cover up anything for fear of change. But we'll talk more about fear and love and change later. But in this moment, just know, when you ask yourself these questions, you may get an initial response. And that initial response may tap right into your divinity. You may just tap right in. That may happen for you. But if you doubt it, even for a moment, ask, is this my divine self answering or is this ego answering? So for now, listen to and with your heart. The nagging feeling that something is coming that doesn't feel good, ask what it is. Keep thinking of something or someone and not sure why, ask. Don't know which direction to take or whom to say what to whom? Ask. Ask that ever higher power within you. Just ask it to speak up and be truthful and be clear. You can ask for clarity in your answers as well. Sometimes when I'm asking specific questions in my prayers, I ask for very clear and gentle answers. I ask for very clear, obvious answers. I don't always catch the subtleties. And I ask for it to come that way. And most of the time it does. You may often find the answers are in the question. Think about a question that you want to ask yourself or someone else. Whatever it is, just a question. Maybe it's, you know, does my husband still love me? Does my boss still want me to do my work? Do my children still think I'm funny? Whatever. Ask a question, a simple one. Now ask, why are you asking that question? Because you're assuming something. Possibly you're asking, does my husband still love me? Because maybe you're questioning your love for him. Perhaps you're asking, does my boss still want me to do my job? Because you're questioning moving on. Or do my kids think I'm funny? Because maybe you think you're not spending enough time. So sometimes, a lot of the time, you may find the answers are in the question. And this all may sound really easy, and you may think that you already do it, and you might sometimes. If you have children, this is going to be a big shift this week, really listening to your children and asking your children questions. I'm not talking about your 18-month-old here, though you could do that as well. But let me tell you, when I ask Julian my 10-year-old questions, holy moly, you're going to get an answer. If you have coworkers, you might be surprised. And if you have a significant other, watch out. When you start listening, you may hear some truth that you didn't know was there. So the breakdown for this week. Continue with your foundation every single day, the best of your ability. Forgive yourself for anything that you don't complete and start fresh and newly committed every moment of every day in every way. You don't have to go, oh, I didn't do yoga today or I never moved my body today, so screw the gratitude journal. Don't screw the gratitude journal. Still do the gratitude journal. And then wake up in the morning, do the morning pages. And if you skip a meditation, don't screw meditation. Go back and do it. Recommit all the time. Be present. Number two, practice seva. Continue to practice. Don't be like, oh, good, I'm glad we got over that thing and where I had to do stuff for other people. Just keep doing it. Make it part of who you are naturally. I know most of you pretty well, and I know that you already do tremendous acts of seva on a very regular basis. Now just be aware of it. Or if you feel that you have more to give, give a little bit more. You'll be amazed the things that come back to you tenfold. But that's not why we do it. Number three, tell the truth. Tell the truth to others. Most importantly, tell the truth to yourself. Number four, listen with the ears of your heart. Ask questions to others and yourself. Listen in between their words and in between your thoughts. Don't plan what you're going to say while someone else is talking. Observe yourself when your ego gets in the way. it will show up like fear. And enjoy the knowing and the love that you get from this week's exercises. Let's take these last couple minutes and move into a meditation. I'm just going to read moving into the meditation, and this is our fourth week doing this. I think we've done a meditation the last couple weeks, and many of you are regular meditators at this point. So I'm just going to ask you to drop right on in, and I'm going to start the meditation reading a couple quotes. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Don't be one of these people. One of the most sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another has to say. The world, God, is giving you answers each day. Learn to listen. The first duty of love is to listen. Listening to others' viewpoints may reveal the one thing needed to complete your goal. When people talk, listen completely. Most people don't. Be different. As you drop into your space of meditation, remember that meditating is also listening. Listening to God. Listening to our divine self. As we drop into this space of meditation tonight, let's first express gratitude. Let's express a deep gratitude for all of our gifts, for how we serve in this world, for how we experience love, peace, joy, abundance, for how we have this amazing ability to listen, to speak our truth, to give to others, and to practice these beautiful daily rituals that help us remember who we are and tune us in to our true self-love. Scan your body from head to toe. Any stress, any pain, discomfort, fear, to send that beautiful golden light of God straight to that space. And just watch how quickly it dissipates. The pain is removed. The stress is gone. The fear disappears into the ethers from which it came. Drop into this beautiful space of love. And imagine your body from your feet to your head filling up with that beautiful liquid light, golden liquid light of God, filling your body. In your mind's eye, imagine a situation from your past, something of discomfort, something negative. Just let it come up. You don't have to relive it. You don't have to feel its pain, but let it come up and ask your true divine self, your authentic self, what questions could I have asked in this situation? Could I have heard the answer? Could I have listened? See what kind of answers come up for you now. All of our limiting beliefs at one point served us, or we wouldn't have ever had them. Give gratitude for who you were, that you did your best, and that those around you did the best they knew how. Come into that deep place of listening to the truth, of knowing yourself. How does this incident from the past look to you now? Is there a space of love? Is there a space of compassion? Is there a space of gratitude? Or as you release this from your mind's eye, come back into the present moment, back into your body. Experience that feeling of the beautiful, golden, liquid light of God flowing through your veins. Now in your mind's eye, allow a worry or a stress or a fear that's coming in the future to come up, something you're worried about that's not yet happened. Ask yourself, why are you worried? What are you worried about? How is this worry or stress showing up in my life in this moment? What questions could I ask? What could I hear? How could I listen? Can you change? Can you change your mind? Can you change your perception? Watch how the fear and the worry and the stress begin to dissipate. These thoughts no longer serve you. This worry, this stress, it's not who you are in your true divinity. You are a child of God. You are whole. You are love. Now, let that future event slip out of your mind. Come back into your body yet again. Feel that beautiful golden liquid light of God once again running through your veins. Imagine in your mind's eye going deeper into your soul. And as you go deeper into the soul, imagine yourself standing in the center of a house. Maybe it's a house you know. Maybe it's a house you don't recognize. Look around the house and notice that it's beautiful. It feels familiar. And allow yourself to explore just a little bit. Maybe walk down a hallway, go into the kitchen, look out a window. Take a look around this house. How do you feel here? This is the house in your mind that represents your being, your soul. Let it show up organically. Let it build itself as you look around. As you move through the rooms, notice the floor. What's it made of? Wood, tile, cement, carpet, grass, dirt. Feel the texture beneath your feet. And the walls, are they painted? Are they transparent? Are they textured? Are they steel? Just take some time to explore the house of your soul. Take some time to sit in your house. What kind of furniture? What kind of smell? What kind of sound? This is a place that you can come and visit anytime. And your reason for visiting is so that you can explore it. You can ask questions. And you can listen for answers. and you can get to know your true self more and more every day. This is also a beautiful thing to write about. You can come into this space of this meditation, walk into the house of your soul, just simply start free writing. See what comes up. It's time to leave our house for now. Walk towards the front door. Turn around, take one last look. And then walk out the front door and close the door behind you. As you come back into your body, you can still feel the beautiful, golden, liquid light of God pumping through your veins. It's always there, always with you, just waiting for you to remember. As you come back into your body, you can wiggle your toes and your fingers. Take some deep breaths. Feel your rib cage expand. Feel the cool air come in and the warm air go out. Sigh a deep sigh of gratitude and knowing. Knowing of yourself. Knowing that you are a child of God. Knowing that you are complete. And that these tools and all the beautiful tools and processes and rituals that you may learn throughout your days, throughout your life, are just simply tools. We are already whole. We are already children of God. These things just help us remember. Come back into the room. Come back into your body. And let's go into our closing prayer. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we are so grateful, so humbled. Every day and every moment, all of our souls expand, our heart rises up to the heavens, our minds open wide, and we ask questions. We listen with our heart. When we find ourselves straying from this practice, from this beautiful gift, from this beautiful knowing, please help us to remember. Help us remember who we really are, your children. We are forever grateful for these tools. We are grateful for the reminders, and we are grateful for the truth. As we begin knowing ourselves more and more, we love ourselves more and more, and our love gets expressed through you, and your love is expressed through us. And as we love ourselves, we begin to learn deeper and deeper ways to love one another. We are all one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so it is. Thank you guys for whoever's on the phone tonight live. Thank you. I'm always grateful that I'm not just talking to myself. And if you're listening to this at a future date, good work. You know, not everybody can stop in the moment on a Monday night to listen. So whenever you are listening to this, you're doing the work, and that's what we're here to do. It doesn't hardly feel like work, really. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve each and every one of you. Please remember, don't wait till the last week and everybody bombard me with half-hour sessions. Because you all get a half-hour session, but I don't want you to all not remember until the very end. So think about setting up your half-hour session, and we'll check in and see how you're doing on the process and see how I can best serve you to move you into the next phase. And next Sunday night, you will be getting week 5, and the next Monday we'll do the week 5 conference call. This weekend, I'll be going into the Sedona Yoga Festival, doing an opening ceremony and teaching Divine Relationship class. So you can send me lots of love and light, and some of you will be doing that with me as well. And then, last but not least, February 5th is my 46th birthday, and I look at this as a beautiful new beginning, because 4 plus 6 is 10, and that's a 1, and here we go. So you can send lots of love and light to me as well on February 5th. And I send you all love and light, and you're all always in my prayers on a regular basis. And if you ever need support in any way, please don't hesitate to ask. It is my way of serving on earth. Many blessings, lots of love and light, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.